Not now, Be'ezer Hashem, the ninth perek, Omer Rabbi Akiva, on the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. And this perek will cover many different dinim, little of which has anything to do with Masechta Shabbos per se. Perhaps one din, which has to do with Mila, will actually touch on Masechta Shabbos. And all these dinim, farshidna dinim, different dinim, have to do with psukim that, on a pshat level, would not give us any new din, but the chachamim used those psukim as an asmachta to hang up, so to speak, their dinim on a pasuk. There is, however, a chassam sofer who claims that one of these dinim is not an esmachta, but a joshua gemur. It's a din d'oraisa. That's the first din that we'll cover, Mirz Hashem, today. And that's tumas avodah zarah. And when the Gemara says that this tumah is only d'rabbanan, what the Gemara really has in mind is that it's derived from the Nevi'im as opposed to the Chumash. In any event, we have here a case of Mila, which is actually relevant to Shabbos. It has to do with a bris mila on Shabbos. That's going to be later on Pei Vav. And there is a possibility that the reason why the Mishnah begins with the Asmachta from Yeshayahu HaNavi with regard to Tumas Avodah Zarah is because in the last Mishnah, at the end of the eighth perek, the Mishnah actually quoted that same parsha in Yeshayahu HaNavi to derive a different asmachta, and that had to do with what's considered roi fahotzah in the case of a piece of pottery of cheres. And later on in that same chapter in Yeshaya, there's the pasuk that we're going to be learning about here as an asmachta for tumas akum, tumas avodas kochav. So let's just begin the Mishnah. And our goal today would just be sort of make a haschol on this perek. Hopefully, we're going to discuss dinim that have to do with minimum shears of different items for hotzah. And that's mentioned here in the Meiri's introduction to this perek. So, Om Rabbi Akiva, minayin l'avodah zarah shemetama b'masa kenida. In other words, within the structure of the laws of Nida, it's rare, the laws of Tumah in general, it's rare that you have something called Tumas Masa, when there's no actual Nagiyah, no contact, and no Maga between a person who's Tar and somebody or something that's Tumah. The exceptions to that rule are Nida and Nevela. And now Rabbi Akiva is adding a third exception to that rule in the case of Avodah Zarah. So it means that somebody who carries Avodah Zarah in such a way that he doesn't actually come b'maga, then he becomes Tameh. And that Tumah, again, except for the Chassam Sof that we mentioned earlier, is assumed to be a Tumah d'Rabbanan. And all this, all the limudim here that we're going to learn about are an asmachta which only generates a drabon, including the asmachta for tumas avodah zarah. And minayin l'avodah zarah shemetama b'masa kenida. And the Gemara answers shenemar, based on that same parsha in Yeshayahu Perek Lamed that we discussed in the previous Mishnah, when Yeshayahu gives a nevuah to Klal Yisrael that after they will be punished for following the ways of Avodah Zarah, they'll finally throw out and cast their psilehem they will cast aside their images, their idols, vis abrum, and the pasuk says tizreim kmo dava tse tomarlo. Now let's give a literal translation. You shall cast them away as you would a nida, and you will say to the idol, go out, tse, which means that every Jew will throw away his idols. They'll be absolutely repugnant in his eyes, just like a nida is, so to speak, ma'usa al ba'ala. And a nida is mitama b'masa. Now, the source for tumas masa is actually in a different parasha. It's in the parasha of Zav, where it says, V'adova v'nidosa v'azav ezovo. And there's a hekish between nida and zav. Zav is metami b'masa, and that's the parasha that says, V'anose osam yichaves begodov, is nida also is metami b'masa, as Rashi points out later on in Omid Beis. Now, here we have a pasuk that compares nida to avodah zarah, because it says tiz reim kmo dova. Dova is a nida, and ma nida metama b'masa af avodah zarah metama b'masa. Again, the pasuk itself is talking about different kinds of coverings and belts of psalim, of different idols, but the pasuk says tzipui psile kaspecha ves afodas maseches avcha. Now, these kinds of ornaments that are attached to idols are called tashmishei avodah zarah. Rabbi Akiva, we'll see later on, agrees, he admits that they're, these kinds of accessories are not metami b'masa like a nida. They rather have a different din, which is called a sheretz, which is not metami b'masa. So when we talk about this pasuk, we really have to divide up the pasuk into different parts. The parts are going to talk about the avodah zarah mamish, and he's carrying the avodah zarah. And other parts are talking about Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, things that are used within the context of Avodah Zarah. Like, for example, things that beautify the idols, as opposed to the idol itself. So, basically, what we have here from the Mishnah is that an idol will contaminate a person who carries the idol. And the Gemara says that there's another Mishnah, and that's in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that records a machlokes between Chachom and Rabbi Akiva as far as Tumas Avodah Zarah. So our Mishnah here in Shabbos only quotes Rabbi Akiva, but not so, that's not the case in Avodah Zarah. Tanan Hossam, there in Avodah Zarah, it says, Misha Haya Beso Somach Li Avodah Zarah. You know, one of the walls of his house serves also as a wall. He shares a wall with the house in which they worship the idols. We'll call it a temple for idolatry. And that's the way Rashi learns it. And v'nafal. And now this kosel, which is shared between his house and the monastery or temple, whatever you want to call it, falls down. Asur livnoso. Asur lebalabais lachsor v'livnoso. He's not allowed to rebuild or restructure that wall. And the reason for this, apparently, is that he shouldn't have built that wall to begin with. Or shall we say, the moment that the adjoining building was erected, in other words, when he built his wall, it was before the adjoining building had been erected. But now, although the Jew is permitted to build it, now that the non-Jews are using a Jew's wall as one of the walls, notice they set up only three walls, and they designated that house for Avodah Zarah, at this point, you have to destroy that wall. Or the wall actually fell, but you cannot reconstruct the wall. Why? Because if he reconstructs the wall, then he's also building the wall of the monastery. And in that sense, he's being Mahana Avodah Zarah. And that's a new category called Mahana Avodah Zarah. Again, he's not building Avodah Zarah itself. He's building a house in which they will worship Avodah Zarah, but he's being Mahana the Avodah Zarah. He's giving benefit to the Avodah Zarah by rebuilding this wall. So it's okay when he originally built it, because at that point it wasn't adjoining a monastery, but now there are three other walls to this monastery. He's in effect building the fourth wall. That he's not allowed to do. Ketzad Yaseh. So this person wants to rebuild his house. He doesn't have a wall. So what should he do? Kones L'toch Shalo Arba Amos Ubone. In other words, he should be marchik four amos from the Rishus of Avodah Zarah into his own Rishus. He's going to have to give up on four amos' worth of his own domain. Ubon, and there he will build his new replacement wall. And in general, when we describe a makom, a separate area, like for example, the beginning of Erin, you talk about a mavui, it's always four amos. That's your shear of a space. So if you want to establish a distance between you and the wall of the monastery, then you need a place that separates and wedges between the two. That place has to be four amos, because that's the sheer makom in Kol HaTorah Kula. And now we want to turn to Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. And the Mishnah continues, Haya, this kosa that fell, Shalo, Vishel Avodah Zarah, which means that if a kosel was built with a partnership on a makom, on a location, which belongs both to the Jew and to Avodah Zarah, they have some sort of a partnership, ownership over the makom. So half of the makom belongs to Yisrael, and the other half belongs to the base Avodah Zarah, is nidon mechtzal mechtza. We define this makom of the kosel, which is half of the Yisrael, half owned by the base Avodah Zarah, and Kshedekones Yisrael Arbamas Sok Shalo is Umone Chatzi Mimokom HaKosel Bitoch Arba Amos Shekones. So since some of the area, let's call it two Amos. Let's say, I'm just going to give an example. Let's say the Jew's home is on the left, and the common wall leads to the base of Avodah Zarah on the right. If two amos is worth on the left of that coast belongs to Avodah Zarah, he's going to have to be marchik four amos from those two amos, which in effect would be to replace his wall six amos to the left, to the west of where it was originally. So let's just summarize. If the ground beneath the wall was half his own and half belonged to the idolatry, the base Avodah Zarah, then we consider it, with regard to measuring that four cubits of kones, as half his and half belonging to the idol monastery. So he's going to have to withdraw into his territory, 4 amos, from where his half of the wall begins. And this reminds us a lot of the beginning of Bava Basra, if you're familiar with those sugyas there. Now the Mishnah adds, Avanov, the Eitzav, Ve'afarov. What's the status of the stones and the beams of wood and any other substance from the dirt that was used to build that kosel? And now we're up to the first opinion in this Mishnah, Metamim Kisheretz, which means they only have the ability to generate a Tumas Sheretz, Shenemar, because in the midst of destroying Avodah Zorah, Dvarim Perek Zayin, it says, Shaketz Tishaketzenu, Visayev Sa'avenu, Kicherem Hu. So the word is L'Shaketz as Avodah Zorah, meaning it should be like a Tumas Sheretz. And what that means is that it won't be metame bimasa, it'll only be metame bimaga. So this word sheretz of shaketz, which is the root of the word shaketz to shaketzena, is used here by the Torah to equate and define the tomb of the idol of Avodah Zorah to that of a sheretz. And there's no Tumas Masa, there's only a Tumas Maga. So therefore, those components of the wall will not be Metame Masa, someone who carries them, but Rabbi Akiva Omer Kenida, that the Tuma of these pieces of wood and the stones and the mortar and the offer is equivalent to that of a Nida Shenemar Tizraim Kamodova, the Pasuk in Yeshaya that we quoted earlier, Ma Nida Metame Masa, so any element or material that was used to create that wall will now be Metami B'masa because it is owned by Avodah Zorah. And we see here in Rabbi Akiva a double chiddush. First of all, that there is Tumas Masa in Avodah Zorah. That's a chiddush. And number two, that the Tumas Masa applies to the wall. The wall itself is not being worshipped, but it's used as part of idol worship, as a wall for the monastery or the temple of the idol worshippers. Amar Rabba says, now, in other words, this hekesh of Rabbi Akiva between a nida and a vodazara lahachmir is only going to be used lahachmir. We're not going to use it lahakel, as we will do in the hekesh to sheretz or to mess. In sheketz or sheretz and mess, we're going to have a kula in tumas avodah zorah. The lashon of the pasuk is tizraim kmo dova, the amar kra Nach nach rinhu minach kizar, and nach rinhu is a conjugation of a Hebrew word lihisnaker. In other words, be alien to it, foreign to it, like you are in a case of a zar. And the pasuk says, "Say tomar lo." That's you should say to the avodah zar lahachmir bo, but lahakil velomer hikanes Al Tomar Lo. So this Hekesh between Avodah Zorah and Nida is only L'Chumrah, to generate a Tumas Masa in Avodah Zorah like Tumas Masa in Nida. And when the Pasuk says Ikanes Al Tomar Lo, that you don't say to the idol, enter, he kanes. You have to distance yourself entirely from any association with Avodah Zorah. And this is going to be an asmachta to teach us the stringency of the Tumah Avodah Zorah. And it's going to discourage us from any contact whatsoever with idols. That's the purpose of the Chachamim. So to try to understand this statement of Rabbah, the next statement of Rabbah is even more complicated, but this one is not too bad. Rabbah was bothered because at the beginning of the pasuk it says v'tamasem v'timesem es tzipui psile kaspecha ves aforis masecha mesecha zahavcha. You have to be mitami the psolim and other avodah zorah. Now the pasuk adds larchika kenida. What was the point of that extra piece in the pasuk? So Rabbi explains that the Torah wants to teach us in this pasuk in Yeshaya, lisnakir me'avodah zorah kizar larchikar chokam uchletes. We should be very, very far away from avodah zorah, and therefore the din in which the pasuk is equating avodah zorah with need is only lechumra, but not lekula. Now, what exactly would be a possible kula? So that's what we learn for the pasuk. Say tomarlo hikanes al tomarlo. Don't say hikanes. Hikanes would be to get closer to the avodah zorah. We're not going to allow any statement of getting closer. Now, you might have said get closer. In what kind of circumstance? Well, in Nida, which is the paradigm case, we have a case of lekarva, so to speak. And this is sugya in Shavuos about Meshamesh im Tahora ve'omrlo nitmesi, that in the middle of an intimate act, of a relationship, she became tmea. And the law is that he's not allowed to be poresh immediately, because he has to wait for Yomus Ha'ever, that his erection should go down. And only then he's poresh. So in a sense, he's coming closer to her at that point. And we would say that, let's say in avodah zorah, in a case of refuah, where you need the avodah zorah, like a serum from a nasherich, or whatever it is, you need for therapeutic purposes, the pasuk says no. Say tomarlo. Say tomarlo. In other words, he kanes al tomarlo. There's no closeness, but rather say tomarlo. And therefore, the equation between avodah zorah and nida is only lechumra, but not leknisa, not to be makariv you in any sense. So basically, there's no situation whatsoever in avodah zorah where it's mutul achnisa, where you could take the avodah zorah and bring it in, so to speak. You always have to expel it and reject it. Now, we're going to have at this point two shitos in explaining the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So here in the Masifta, he has an introduction to this sugya, and he wants to explain a concept called Evan Misama. Okay, and Evan Misama is a phrase that's derived from Daniel, Sefer Daniel, Vehesazius, Evan Chada Vesumas Alpum Guba, which means that they brought one stone and they put it on top of a pit. And this was a story, an episode that happened after Daniel was appointed, after the Ashtarafane Hamelech Dariush and his enemies wanted to trip him up. And they somehow convinced the king, Dariush, to decree that for 30 days, Asur l'chol odom l'spal l'chol aloha, elarak l'vakesh me'amelech, to enjoin any sort of prayer to any god other than asking from the king. But Daniel refused to discontinue his prayers, and he defied this gzera, this edict, and he went up to the attic of his house, and the Tanakh testifies that he prayed 3 days, three times a day, just as he did before this edict was enacted. Now, when he got caught praying, they decree that he has to be thrown into the den of the lions. When they threw him into the lion's den, they brought a stone and they placed it on top of the opening of a pit in order to make sure that he wouldn't get out. and he had no escape. God miraculously saves Daniel, and Daniel is not hurt by the lions at all. And this stone that they placed was on top of yesedos, pegs, in such a way that anyone who sat on the stone would not crush through by his weight anything that was underneath the stone, because the stone was elevated. And these pegs, so-called yesedos, would prevent this stone from pressing down on that which was under it and crushing it. Now, if there are utensils that are resting in the airspace underneath this great giant stone, and the stone doesn't have any direct contact with these utensils that are underneath it, now a Zav sits on top of the Evan, and he's metami the kelim that are underneath this stone, even though he didn't move these utensils at all. Because in the parasha of Zav, the Torah says, v'chol hanogeh v'chol asher yeh tachtov yitma ad ha'orev. Now, Rashi is of the opinion that not only is this stone, which is placed on these pegs, have a din of Evan Mesama, but anything that's chotzeitz is eno makabel tuma. For example, we have something called pshutei kli eitz, which are not makabel tuma, if they don't have a beis hakibul. And if you take pshutei kli eitz and you place them on top of yesedos, it has the same din of Evan Misama. And Evan Misama, we said before, if the Zav sits on the Evan, he's metame the Kalim that are underneath them. And that's based on the extra words in the Poskol Nogea, B'chol Asher Yeh Tachtov. Okay, so again, we presented one Shita. We have also Rashi, and Rashi expands the definition of this category called Evan Misama to include Kol Dora Chotzeitz She'eino Mekabel Tuma. And Tosus is going to raise many, many objections to Rashi and is going to offer a different interpretation based on the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that Evan Misama is an Evan Gedolu Kvedo, it's a very large and heavy stone. V'hi Masa Gadol Kol Kach HaTzorech Sima. In other words, it's such a heavy burden that it needs something called Sima. V'mitoch Shi Kvedo Eino Ein HaNimtza Tachteo Margish Es Kovet HaDover HaMunach Oleho. Because of this weighty, heavy stone, if you place something on top of the Evan, that which is underneath the Evan doesn't even feel that extra weight. Sharei eino mosif lahachbid yoser mishael Evan machbido. You know, can't add any extra weight to the very, very heavy stone. Im yoshav zov ala Evan, vayitachter kelim, nitmoy ma kelim, afal pishalo izizom azov. So it seems like Rashi understood that that which is under the Evan Misama is not Tomei, but all the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam at the head of the list, would argue that anything that's underneath the Evan Agdola is Mitami B'masa. If you have something on Mitami that gets on top of the Evan. Now I'm not sure if we're clarifying this. Let's do the following. Let's take a break and read the Gemara and then see if we have time to go through the note and summarize it. V'omar Rabba, b'masa, de kuli alma lo pligi de mitama. Even the Chachamim agree that Avodah Zarah is metama betumas masada iskish lenida. The Rabbanan cannot deny the pasuk that says Tizraim kamo dava with regard to Avodah Zarah, and dava is a nida. Ki pligi, but rather the machlok shin the Chachamim Rabbi Akiva is about even misama, which, as we said before, the even is lifted up by Yesedos and placed on top of Kalim in a way that, as we said, somebody who sits on this even does not move the Kalim that are underneath this even. Now, Hinichu Avodah Zarah al even zu, they placed Avodah Zarah on top of this stone. And Rabbi Akiva holds that Avodah Zarah is metamek in Nida, because of the hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida, and therefore ma Nida metamek be'evin misama. In other words, if a Nida would sit on an evin misama, she's metamek the kelim that are underneath the evin. Af Avodah Zarah metamek be'evin misama. If he puts an idol on top of this evin misama, so the kelim underneath it become susceptible to, they contract tumah. For Rabbanan Savri Kisheretz, that there's an equation in the pasuk of Shakit Shakseno between Tumas Avodah Zarah and Tumas Sheretz. Ma Sheretz lo mitam be'evin mitama. If you put a Sheretz on top of an Evin Mesama, Evin Mesema, no, I think it's Mesama actually, is the more correct pronunciation, then the Kalim underneath this Evin did not contract Tuma, because only a Zav and a Nida, and now, according to Rabbi Akiva, Avodah Zarah, that's placed on top of the Evin, Ametame, the Kalim underneath the Evin, is Af Avodah Zarah, according to Chachamim, because this equation, the Sheret, is Lo Metama, the Evin Mesama. So you place the idol on top of the Evin Mesama, the Kalim underneath it would not contract tumor. The Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara asks, "Lamai hilchasa iskash l'sheretz? What's he going to do with the pasuk shaketz to shaketzen? It's got to teach me some halacha." And the Gemara answers that Rabbi Akiva holds that the equation, the hekish between avodah zarah and tumas sheretz is le'inyan mishamshel, meaning that the mishamshe avodah zarah, those things that are added or embellished the avodah zarah, the idol, they are not metami neither b'masa nor b'evin mesama, only b'mago, like a sheretz. Now, getting back to the note here that we started with, he says that tumas evin mesama nemro b'arba ofanim aleph kishezav onida yoshva la evin v'yukeim tachasa evin. And all the kalim that are underneath the Evan are makabel tumah. Number two, a tar who sits on an Evan misama after a zav or nida sat on the Evan misama is nitma. This tar contracts tumah because he has the din of a shochev al mishkav azav. Again, the Evan itself is not makabel as tumah, but the person who sits on the moshav or the mishkav of a zav is mekabel tumah because of mishkav a zav. Now the third halach is that a zav or a nida that sit on the even misama v'niach hator esetz bo oraglo tachas even, if a tor puts a finger or foot underneath the stone, hu tamei midin masa, it's as if he's carrying the Zav. That's a fantastical halacha. And fourthly, Zav Onida Sheinichu Etzba Tachas Evin Misama V'hayu Kalim Ala Evin HaKalim Tmeya Midin Heset. So it works in both directions. It's a tar who puts his foot or his finger underneath the Evin, and the Zav and the Nida sat on this Evin. Or the other way around, if a zav or a nida put their finger or their foot underneath the Evan, they are therefore metame the kalim that on top of the Evan, and that's midin heset. Now the Gemara asks the Rabbanon, they hold that Avodah Zorah is not metame the Evan Misama. And the question is, Lamai Hilchsa Iskash Linida. They also reject the equation to Nida as far as Tumas Masa is concerned. So they're left with only a Hekish to Sheretz, but the Torah in Yishayo Periklamet does equate Avodah Zorah to Nida, Tizraim Kamodova. So the Gemara says, Le Masa. What does that mean? And again, this is the unique Shita of Rabbah, in which the Chachamim agree to the fundamental principle, the equation between Tumas Avodah Zorah and Tumas Nida, as far as Mas is concerned, that Nida is Metama Es Nosa, anyone who carries her, and so to Avodah Zorah is Metame, anyone who carries the idol, the Avodah Zorah. So now, the question is, we have to sort of balance here. On the one hand, the Torah had to equate Avodah Zorah to Nida, and on the other hand, to Sheretz. And we have these two Hekeshim. One is Avodah Zorah is Metame Lamasa. The other is that Avodah Zorah is not Metame B'Misama. B'Evin Misama. Is V'Luksha Rachmana L'Nevela. The Torah could have easily have equated Avodah Zorah with Nevela. And just like Nevela is Metame B'Masa, so too Avodah Zorah is Metame B'Masa. And just like Nevela is not Metame B'Evin Misama, so too Avodah Zorah is not Metame Be'evin Mimasa, according to the Chacham. So why did the Torah need these two distinct, separate Hekeshim when it could have been, in a cinch, one single Hekesh between Avodah Zorah and Nevela? And the Gemara answers, Eino Chinami. If the Limud from Nida would be exhausted in the din of Tumas Masa, then we could have derived that same identical din of Avodah Zorah with from an equation to Nevela. And according to the Sheet of the Chachamim, the Hekesh between Avodah Zorah and Sheretz v'Nida. So we're not going to learn from Nida only that one din of Tumas Masa, Ella, we're going to derive another din from the equation to Nida. Ma Nida Eina Le Eivarin. Avodah Zorah Eina Le Eivarin. So what happens if an Eiver of a Nida falls? It's Metama B'Ohel and B'Masa, and that's called Eiver Menachai. But it's not Metama B'Evan Misama. That's as far as Nida is concerned. Is so too Avodah Zorah is not mitame le'evarin. So let's say, for example, you had an idol that was made up of different vertebrae, so to speak, different segments and parts, chulios, and one of those particular additions, let's say an arm or whatever, fell off the idol, that chulia is not mitame midin avodah zorah. And this we learn from Nida, that imnofel Avram and Anida, again, there's a tumah of Oel and a tumah of Masa, but that has to do with a different tumah. That's a classification called Aver min hachai. In other words, any complete Aver is metame like the mess itself. However, it's not metame midin Nida. And the nafkamina is going to be that it's not metame what's called Evan Misama. And so to Avodah Zorah, as a new tumor called Avodah Zorah, if you would break off a chulia of the Avodah Zorah, it would not be Metame Midin Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara now asks, V'elohad boy, We have a suffix of Rav Chama Bar Guria later on Pei Gimel. Avodah Zarah Yeshna Leivarim or Eino Leivarim. If you have this Avodah Zarah that was made of different chulios and one of those various joints fell off, would that Eiver be Metami and Avodah Zarah or not? And the Gemara blives with a suffix. The Gemara doesn't determine the final answer to that. Is Tifshal Le Miha Derabanan? Derabanan Eina Le'evarim. That according to Chachamim, the chulia that separated from the guf of the Avodah Zarah is not metame like Avodah Zarah itself, because it's a hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida, and the Evarim of a Nida are not metame midin Nida. Again, forget about Evarim and Achai, but it categorized as Nida than metame. Let's just point out that this question that the Gemara asked of Luksha Rachmanu L'Nevela was only according to the Rabbana, not according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva needs both Hakeshim in a way that he couldn't derive it from Nevela. Number one, Rabbi Akiva needed the Hekesh to Nevela, the Hekesh to Sheretz in order to exclude Misham Sheha, and number two, he needed the Hekesh to Nida in order to add, in the case of Avodah Zarah, Tumas Evin Masa, Misama. Why? Because in the case of Nevela, there is no Tumas Evin Masama. So, according to Rabbanan, that derived from the Hegish to Sheretz that Avodah Zarah is not Metame the Evin Masama, then we could have skipped out. Reduce the two Akashim to one Hekesh. And that was the Gemara's question. And then the Gemara answers that Enochinami, and the reason why we couldn't accept or replace, shall we say, the Hekesh to Nida with a Hekesh to Nevela is because we wanted to derive from Nida that there's no Tumas Evarim, and that has repercussions as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned. Now, I would assume, I don't have a raya for this, that according to Rabbi Akiva, likewise, there would be no Tumas Evarim in Avodah Zarah, because in that sense, since we have the equation, the whole Chumrah of Tumas Masa in the case of Avodah Zarah is derived from the Hekesh to Nida. So that's the whole Chumrah here of Avodah Zarah. And in Nida itself, we don't have this additional Tumah called Tumas Evarim. So I doubt if there'd be Tumas Evarim in the case of Avodah Zarah, even according to Rabbi Akiva. He might be Machmir with regard to Masa based on the equation to Nida, but not with regard to Tumas Evarim. He says, Af Avodah Zarah Eina Le'evarim. And here we need the Hekesh to Nida. And just like Nida is not Metami Evarim, so to Avodah Zarah is not Metami Evarim, then we need the Hekesh to Sheretz in order, according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva, to exclude the Evin Misama Tuma. But Lechora, the Gemara, the language of the Gemara contradicts what I said before, because the Gemara wants to know, why does Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Guria have a suffix with regard to Avodah Zarah, whether it has Tuma Seivarim or not, if you pluck off a chulia of the Avodah Zarah? And the Gemara says, Tifshel Le Midil Rabbanon, Eina Le Varim. So it sounds like according to the Shitz Chachamim, the Chulya of an Avodah Zarah is not Metame like the full Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara seems to emphasize that's according to the Rabbanon. And that was derived from the Hekesh to Nida, because Eina Vareha Metamin Midin Nida. So why does Gemara emphasize Rabbanon? I get the impression here which I'm not exactly sure why, but that the Gemara believes that according to Rabbi Akiva, Avodah Zarah would be Metama Le'evarim. And maybe the answer is because he uses up the Hekesh Tanida Lechumra to establish Tumas Masa, and he even goes a step further and he derives from the equation between Avodah Zarah and Nida that Avodah Zarah is likewise Metame B'Evan Misama. And maybe once Rabbi Akiva utilizes this Hekesh L'Chumra to establish these two dinim of Masa plus Evan Misama, and both Tomei in the case of Avodah Zarah, then he's not going to use that same Hekesh to exclude Le'evarim. The Rabbanan used the Hekesh to Sheret to exclude Tumas Evan Misama. Now the question is, why do they need the Hekesh to Nida? And here we're going to introduce Nevela, and that would have covered us as far as Masa is concerned. And that works out very well according to the Rabbanan, who say that Avodah Zarah, like Nevela, is not Metame B'Evan Misama. So that the Gemara's question of Alukma Rachmana L'Nevela is a very excellent question according to the Chachamim. And Nevela could have substituted for the Hekesh to Avodah Zarah, from Avodah Zarah to Nida and the Avodah Zarah to Sheretz. And the Gemara is saying that this additional, shall we say, superficial element or unnecessary Hekesh to Nida is going to establish both a Chumra and a Kula. So the Iker Hekesh is to establish the Chumra that just like Nida's Metame B'Masa, so too Avodah Zarah's Metame B'Masa. But now you might ask, well, that Halach we could have easily derived from a Hekesh to Nevela, and the answer is we wanted to go a step further and derive from Avodah Zarah, I mean the Hekesh from Avodah Zarah to Nida, that there's no Tumas Eivarim. And I'm assuming that in Nevela there is Tumas Eivarim. Do we have a raya for that? The thrust of that we can't derive from Nevela and Hekesh of Avodah Zarah to Nevela because we need the limud to Nida to teach me it's not Tumas Eivarim is I understand from that that in the light of an equation between Avodah Zarah and Nevela, we would have come to the conclusion that Avodah Zarah is Metame Veivarim. And that's why the Torah needed the Hekesh to Nida as opposed to the Hekesh to Nevela. The Iker Hekesh to Nida teaches me the Chumra of Masa. And then the tomb of the equation to Sheretz is going to teach me the Kula, that there's no Tumas, Evan, Misama. This is all according to the Chachamim. And the fact that the Torah did not use a Hekesh to Nevela is telling you that there's a Kula in Nida that's going to be transferred through the Hekesh to Avodah Zarah, and that's the Kula of Einam Etam Beivorim. Okay, so now, just getting back on track to the Gemara wants to know, why don't we derive from the Rabbanon this halacha that Avodah Zarah is not Metame Le'Evarim, and that's derived from the Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida. Why did Rav Chama Bar Guya vacillate, and the Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion on that issue? So now the Gemara answers that according to the Shitas Chachamim, we have this limud from Nida that a Chulia is not Metamas. And there is no suffix, but Rav Chama Bar Guria, who set up this suffix, he was interested in Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, what would the shita of Rabbi Akiva be as far as as chulia of Avodah Zarah is concerned. So let's just think about what this suffix is all about. Rabbi Akiva has a hekesh between Nida and Avodah Zarah to teach me not only Tumas Masa, but also the Tum of Evan Mesama. Now, can we use the equation between Avodah Zarah for Nida to be Mekil? Or do we say that the Hekish is only L'chumra and not L'kula? That's the suffix of the Gemara later on. Now the Gemara offers another interpretation of the Machlok stream Rabbi Akiva the Chachomim in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Amar, be Evan Misama Kuliyama lo pligi de lo metama. In other words, even Rabbi Akiva is going to accept the Hekesh to Nida Lakula as well as Lachumra. And that's going to exclude. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense what I just said. And we're talking about Evan Misama. So the Hekesh to Nida, it doesn't go as far as Evan Misama is concerned. And there's no Tumah of Evan Misama in the case of Avodah Zarah. And that's based on the Hekesh to Sheretz, because the Torah says Shaketz Shaksena. So that's according to everyone. So here Rabbi Elazar is departing from the opinion of Rabbah, which we spent quite a while on, as far as Tumas Mat, Evan Misama. And we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, the equation to Sheretz was the Inyam Misham Sheha. But as far as Evan Misama is concerned, we have the equation to Nida Lechumra. But now we're saying no. The equation to Nida will not go as far, even according to Rabbi Akiva, as Tumas Evan Misama. So what is the Machlokas here? Ki Pligi Vimasa. Rabbi Akiva Sovar, Avodah Zarah's Kenida. Again, the same pasuk, Tizraim Kimo Dova. Ma Nida Mitam Masa, Avodah Zarah Mitam Masa. Rabbanan Savri, Kisheretz. Here the Hekesh to Sheretz becomes primary. Ma Sheretz Lo Mitami Bimasa, Af Avodah Zarah Lo Mitami Bimasa. So that again, the tomb of the Hekish to Sheretz is going to exclude Misham Sheah, according to Rabbi Akiva. The Hekish to Sheretz, according to the Rabbanon, is going to exclude Tumas Masa. And that's what Gemara points out now. The Rabbi Akiva Lamai Hilchasa Iskash L'Sheretz. What's the Hekish, the equation between Avodah Zarah and Sheretz? And the answer is to be makil as far as Misham Sheah is concerned. That anything you add to the Avodah Zarah to beautify it, that's categorized as Misham Sheah Avodah Zarah. And what we're going to say now is that as far as Misham Sheah Avodah Zarah, that Tumah is limited to Tumas Maga, but it doesn't extend to Tumas Masa. And that's derived from the, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to the Hekesh, between Avodah Zarah and Sheretz, to limit the scope of Tumas Misham Sheah to Maga, and exclusively to Maga, the exclusion of Masa. So now the Gemara asks, Ula Rabbanon, they have a hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Sheretz to exclude Tumas Masa in the case of Avodah Zarah. And now the Gemara is going to say, according to Rav Elazar, that the hekesh between Avodah Zarah to Nida, according to Chacham, is only Lakula and not Lachumra. It can't be Lachumra with regard to Masa because we have the hekesh to Sheretz. But rather, the hekesh to Nida is Lakula, Ma Nida Eni Leivarim, Af Avodah Zarah Eina Le'evarim. So if you break off one piece
of the idol, let's say one arm, whatever it might be, that's not mitame midin avodah zarah. So that's the kula that we derive from the Hekesh to Nida, according to the Chachamim in Rav Loza's frame of reference. So again, as far as the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon in this particular sheet of Rabbi Loza, that's about Tumas Masa, and the equation to Sheretz, according to the Rabbanon, is going to exclude Tumas Masa. Rabbi Akiva is going to use the equation to Sheretz to exclude Misham Sheha. The Hekesh to Nida is going to exclude Tumas Evarim. Now, in terms of Tumas Evarim, L'Rabbi Akiva, he uses the Hekesh L'Chumra, and he's got number one Masa, number two Evan Misama. Again, I don't see that explicitly here in Rav Elazar, but that's, I think, a fair assumption, and we're not going to derive the kula of the exclusion of Evarel. So let's see how the Gemara spells this out here on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Ula Rabbi Akiva, he holds that Avodah Zarah is not mitame the Evan Mas. Oh, right. We're now saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva used the Hekesh to Sheretz to exclude Misham Sheha. And he used the Hekesh to Nida for Tumas Masa and Avodah Zarah. Now, where do we hold as far as Tumas Evan Misama in the case of Avodah Zarah? Until now, we assumed that it was only the Rabbanon who excluded Tumas Evan Misama in Avodah Zarah, but not Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva included the Chumra of the Hekesh to Nida not only as far as Masa is concerned, but also as far as Evan Misama. But here, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara is suggesting, not sure why yet, that Avodah Zarah is not mitame the Evan Misama. And that's a result of the Hekesh to Sheretz. How does the Gemara know that? I mean, we just said that the Hekesh to Sheretz going to Rabbi Akiva is coming to exclude Misham Sheha. So we have to say it this way, that Rabbi Akiva agrees, as we saw in Rabbi Lazar in his opening statement, that Avodah Zarah is not mitame be'evin misama. This despite the Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida. And I think what we have to say is the following, that since we have a Hekesh to between Avodah Zarah and Sheretz is not mitami the Evan Misama, then basically, according to Rabbi Loza's presentation, the Hekesh to Sheretz is coming to limit, so to speak, the Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida, which means that Hekesh to Nida is limited to the Chumra of Masa. Again, the Rabbanan are going to take the Hekesh to Nida as a Kula, that there's no Tumalei Varim in the case of Avodah Zarah. But Rabbi Akiva took that equation to Avodah Zarah as a Chumra, between Avodah Zarah and Nida as a Chumra, to create a Tumas Masa. Once having done that, then he needs, he needs to neutralize, so to speak, or to limit the force, the power of the equation to Nida, slow it down. You know, it's like you grab the reins of the horse to slow it down, it's going too fast, to limit that equation to Nida. in two different ways. Number one, as far as Meshamsha is concerned, and number two, as far as Evan Misama is concerned. That just like Sheretz is not Metame be Evan Misama, so too Avodah Zarah is not Metame be Evan Misama. Again, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara asks Rabbi Kivi Lamai Hilchsa Iskash L'Sheretz. We already derive from the Hekesh to Sheretz the halach of Ein Avodah Zarah Metame be Evan Misama. And we needed that Hekesh to Sheretz in order to limit the equation to neither, so that we don't extend the tomb of Avodah Zarah to Evan Misama. So in the note here, the Masifta points out that there are two ways of going here. He says that if the source for Avodah Zarah Eino Metame Be'evin Masa Misama is indeed, even according to Rabbi Kiva, the Hekesh to Sheretz, then you have to change the gear. So we don't have, and many Rishon apparently didn't have the girsa of the Rabbi Kiva L'may Hilchsa Iskesh L'Sheretz, because we already have an answer to that question. Alternative, he says, that according to Rabbi Lazar, the halacha that Avodah Zarah is not Metame Be'evin Misama is derived from Svara. And therefore the Gemara says, so why do I need the Hekesh to Sheretz? Now the Gemara is asking, on the top Pei Gimel, that according to Rabbi Akiva, if I need the Hekesh to Nida to establish Tumas Masa, just like Nida's Metame no Seha, so to Avodah Zarah's Metame no Seha, then why do I need a Hekesh between Avodah Zarah? Why do we need this double Hekesh, number one, to Nida, number two, to Sheretz? Why not just simply look, Shei, Nevela? The Torah could have just given an equation between Avodah Zarah and Nevela, because Nevela is Metame B'masa. It's not Metame B'Evin Mesama. And therefore, we don't need, Rabbi Kiva shouldn't need to derive the Tumah of Avodah Zarah from Nida. And the Tumah of Avodah Zarah, the same identical Tumah of Avodah Zarah, which he derived from Nida, could have been derived from Nevela. And we don't need the equation to Sheretz, because either Mishamshel is Svara, or, just one second, could we derive from Sheretz the exclusion of Mishamshel? Why does Gemara think that we could just make do with the Hekesh to Nevela? How would we know to exclude Mishamshel? Also, we needed the Hekesh to Nevela to exclude Evin Misama, but okay, that's included in Gemara's Kasha, because Nevela is not Metame be Evin Misama. I'm just wondering, how would we exclude Mishamshel? That I don't know. We'll see if that comes up here. So, Lukshe Linevela, the Gemara answers, Eino Chinami. So, what are we going to derive from the Hekesh to Nida that we couldn't derive from a Hekesh to Nevela? We don't need it for Masa, but we need it for Kula. Ma Nida Eino Levarim, Af Avodah Zarah Eino Levarim. So, if you pluck off a Chuli of the Avodah Zarah, it's not Metame Midin Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara goes to ask, Ela Hadaboy, the suffix of Rami, of Rav Chama Bar Guria, Avodah Zarah, Yeshna Levarim, Eina Levarim, Tisha Le Meha, De Bain, Le Rabban De Bain, Le Rabbi Akiva, De Eina Le Evarim. And just point out that according to Rabbah, in the first round, before we got to Rav Lazar, the Gemara asked a similar question, but only according to the Rabbanon. It was the Rabbanon who used the Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida to establish the Kula of Einalei Varim. That wasn't at all clear according to Rabbi Akiva. In fact, the Gemara's language, as we were mendaik from earlier, is the Rabbanon Einalei Varim, which means that Rabbi Akiva uses the Hekesh to Nida in a Chumrah way and not in a Kula way. He only has the exclusion from Sheretz as far as Meshamshah is concerned, but there are many different dinim in Chumras and Tumah that we derive from Nida to Avodah Zorah. Like, for example, Nida's Metami B'Masa, Nida's Metami B'Evin Misama, all those dinim are derived from the Hekesh between Nida and Avodah Zorah. They apply to Avodah Zorah as they do in Nida. But as far as the Kula of Nida, that we don't have, according to Rabbah's interpretation of Rabbi Akiva. But now, in the light of Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara has even a stronger question, because Bein L'Rabban and Bein L'Rabkiva, according to Rabbi Elazar, they both derive from the equation to Nida the Kula of Einalei Varim. And we needed that because otherwise we couldn't derive the Chumrah of Masa from Nevela. And Rabbi Elazar of the opinion that as far as Tumas Evin Misama is concerned, Kuliyama lo pligi de lo mitama. So therefore the only derivation, lechumra of the Hekesh to Nida, would be as far as Tumas Masa is concerned, that we could have derived from a Hekesh to Nevela had there been such a Hekesh. So we're forced, according to Rabbi Elazar, both for Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, to derive from the Hekesh to Nida the Kula of Einalei Varim, in order to answer the question of Lukshei L'Nevela. So why then does Rav Chama Bar Gurya end up with a Suffolk about Lei Varim? And the Gemara answers that, in truth, according to Rabbi Loz's understanding, both Chacham and Rabbi Akiva come to the conclusion that there's no doubt that Avodah Zarah is not Metami Lei Varim, but Rav Chama Bar Gurya had a suffix because Kiraba Masne, he understood the machlokes between the Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva like Rabba understood that machlokes. And therefore Avodah Zorah is Metame Tumas Masa, and the machlokes is about Evin Misama, and we don't know what would the din of Eivarim be. But that's only according to Rabbi Akiva. Uboile Alib the Rabbi Akiva, who derives from Nida to Avodah Zarah that there's a Tumah of Evin Misama, can we derive a Kula based on that same Hekesh? Or maybe that Hekesh only goes L'Chumra to teach me both Masa and Evin Misama, but not L'Kula to exclude the case of Eivarim. And this leads us to Mesve, which is here on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the first of the wide lines. It's approximately, 15 lines down from the top. And Amir Shem, that will cover in the next sheet.